Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk about new state legislation aimed at employing our veterans and go back 150 years to discover Minnesota's two civil wars. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Governor Dayton will be proclaiming July Hire a Veteran Month, encouraging all state businesses to provide employment opportunities to those who have served our nation in the armed forces. When President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the GI Bill into law in 1944, he observed that more than anything else, American service members wanted the assurance of satisfactory employment upon their return to civilian life. Decades later, that remains true. Veterans today desire these same economic opportunities and bring to the modern workplace skills, education, leadership, maturity, and dedication that they have learned in their military service. According to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota is currently home to nearly 400,000 honorably discharged veterans. To assist veterans in achieving their goal of fulfilling employment, the Department of Employment and Economic Development is holding the Minnesota Veterans Career Fair this month. Minnesota veterans who are looking for a job, interested in exploring new careers, or who want to learn about educational opportunities should plan on attending. Stop by July 11th from 11 to 3 p.m. at the Earl Brown Heritage Center in Brooklyn Center. There will be employers from all sectors with actual job opportunities, ready to meet and recruit talented veterans. For more information on the Minnesota Veterans Career Fair in Brooklyn Center on July 11th, and to learn more about veterans employment, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining us now from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is the Director of Women, Veteran, and Employment Initiatives, Barb O'Reilly. Barb, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's great to be back on your show.
Well, it's several times you've been on now. And Barb, for those listeners that may not have be familiar with you, you had a nice career in the military. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely. I loved every day I was in the military. I was in active Army for about 11 years, then came into the Minnesota National Guard, served in many different capacities. And in my final capacity, well, I did spend a year in Afghanistan, so I'm an Afghanistan war veteran. In my final role with the Minnesota National Guard, I worked with the Yellow Ribbon Program. And that's just a very exciting collaborative opportunity to develop support for service members and their families and veterans throughout the state.
And I'm still getting used to not seeing you in your uniform, Colonel.
And I still don't have a problem figuring out what to wear.
And now you're the Director of Women, Veteran, and Employment Initiatives at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Can you tell us what is that all about?
Well, I really have two hats. One is to focus on programs for women veterans to ensure that women veterans throughout the state of Minnesota are gaining access to their benefits, that we're really ensuring that women veterans are recognized for their service. So doing a lot of outreach, just talking to women veterans about their service, making sure that they are aware of the opportunities for benefits, making sure that they're aware of the great medical care that's available through the Veterans Administration Hospital as well. And then within my other hat that I wear, it's focusing on employment programs. And so in this capacity, I really am serving kind of as a collaborator, working with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, the reserve components throughout Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard, Department of Labor, Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, and other state and federal agencies to synchronize all the activities to support veterans find employment.
Your military career really gave you some good experience to be able to do all of this, too, didn't it?
Well, what it really showed me is that in the military, we don't focus a lot on what is our next career. We don't spend a lot of time on that. We don't practice interviewing. We don't practice writing resumes. And so then as you transfer out of the military, that is a different language that you have to learn.
Learn all over again.
Exactly.
And I understand July has been proclaimed Hire a Veterans Month.
It has been. Governor Dayton has proclaimed July as Hire a Veteran Month. And again, that's really to increase the awareness that Minnesota has over 380,000 veterans. We have deployed over 60,000 veterans in support of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom. So we have a lot of young veterans in Minnesota. And we want to increase the awareness that these veterans are out there. They have great skills, great work ethics, and there's a great opportunity to really hire the veterans and bring wonderful employees into your company.
We're speaking with Barb O'Reilly, the Director of Women, Veteran, and Employment Initiatives from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Barb, I understand that you had an event in Rochester on June 26 called Leaders in Veteran Employment. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. This was a great event. It was really a grassroots effort, part of a larger campaign plan, if you will, in southeastern Minnesota. They are calling this campaign plan Operation Career Success. And it was actually one of the employers in Rochester said, I think it's our responsibility. Yes, you know, we have a hard time translating veteran resumes, but it is truly our responsibility to understand what's on the resume. It's our responsibility as employers to understand the military culture. And so at this event, there were approximately 170 employers, counselors, education counselors that all came together, and we identified what are the challenges to hiring and retaining veterans. And then once we identified the challenges, we started to create strategies on how they could implement change within their companies to actually identify, hire, and retain the veterans.
And understand the experience and the training they got in the military and how that translates into civilian employment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, every day we hear from employers who say they want to hire veterans, but they have the barriers. They say, we can't find veterans, and we really don't understand what their resumes mean. When they say squad leader on their resume, they don't understand that that is a supervisor of probably 10 people. They don't understand the leadership, the soft skills that go into the veteran's skill set. And what they're looking for is something very specific on the resumes, but very frequently that doesn't translate directly. And so the employers really want to learn what they can do to really identify those employees that would be good matches in their companies.
Now, I'm sure some of those employers don't understand the logistics involved. For instance, in picking up 2,700 Red Bull soldiers, shipping them halfway across the world to the middle of the desert, and provide food, water, ammunition, equipment, everything they need to accomplish their mission.
You know, absolutely. And even the amount of responsibility and accountability that each individual soldier, service member, veteran has had to take. I was speaking to somebody the other day about, you know, just how much money goes into a service member's equipment that they're accountable for. And literally thousands of dollars. Every soldier, every service member is accountable for that much equipment. And so they learn responsibility. They learn accountability from day one within the military.
Barb, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Hire a Veterans Month and some state legislation. We're speaking with Barb O'Reilly from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today by Barb O'Reilly, the Director of Women, Veteran, and Employment Initiatives from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Barb, we were talking about Hire a Veteran Month, and we started talking about this Leaders in Veteran Employment event you had in Rochester. How many employers were there?
There were 170 people there, most of which were human resource representatives for different companies throughout southeastern Minnesota. Some were also educators and counselors.
And did you discover it was a half-day conference? Did you discover that they were having trouble understanding the experience and the training that the soldiers and airmen, that our troops get, and translating that?
That is absolutely the greatest challenge that the employers feel is they look at the resumes from a veteran and they don't understand what the military terminology is. They don't understand really how it relates to their companies. And also, they don't understand the military culture. In the military, we are always part of a team, and so we really undersell what we do as individuals. And so what we've asked the employers in Rochester, and as we do the Leaders in Veteran Employment events, is to look at those resumes and to help, and in order to better understand what the veterans are saying on their resumes, to actually identify veterans within their companies who might be able to help them understand what some of these phrases and terminology mean.
So some of it was specific to the potential employee, but a lot of it was about discipline, teamwork, training, showing up every day, whether you feel like it or not, and getting the job done, because you don't have a choice, do you?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, if an employer is trying to directly translate skill for skill, they will have a very difficult time. But if they look at the greater picture of what you do within the military, all of those soft skills, we always say that it's not so much maybe the military occupational specialty or the military job, but it is all of those other duties that are assigned that go into the big toolbox that a veteran can bring to an employer.
Now, did it feel like at the end of the day, the half-day session, that they came away with some extra tools?
Absolutely. When we did our first Leaders in Veteran Employment event in St. Paul, we hoped that we could identify three items that an employer could implement within their company. We wound up identifying 15 actions that an employer could immediately implement within their company. And we had the same results down in Rochester, and we hope to do the same thing in St. Cloud and Duluth later on this summer.
Now, you've got another career fair coming up on July 11th. Can you tell us about that?
This is the Veteran Career Fair that is sponsored by the Department of Employment and Economic Development. It is on July 11th at the Earl Brown Center. And it starts at 11, the career fair does, but we really encourage our veterans to arrive at 10 and to take part in the resource fair that is occurring at the same time. We're going to have HR professionals there to review your resumes, to take that one final look. You can make some changes. We'll have a copy machine and printers and everything there. So if you need to make some final changes, you'll be able to do that. We'll have HR professionals there again to help you with that 30-second commercial, so you can take advantage of your career fair opportunity.
The employee elevator speech.
Exactly. We have some tips, as a matter of fact. We will have some tips on our Facebook, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Facebook, for working a career fair. So take a look at that as the days get closer to the career fair.
And if our listeners want more information on that career fair, is there somewhere they can go to look at that?
Yes, positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Seems like I've heard that before,
Barb. It is the place where employers and veterans meet.
So on that July 11th career fair, that's for today's veterans and for all veterans.
And we have, I think, about 120 employers. The career fair is sold out. They're excited. One of the requirements is that they have positions open to hire veterans. And so we really hope to have a very, very positive day. We really encourage the veterans to come prepared, come dressed for the interview, come with your resume, make sure that you have plenty of copies of those, go to the website, identify what employers are going to be there so you can take advantage of that opportunity.
PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans. We're speaking with Barb O'Reilly from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Barb, I know we wanted to talk about some state legislation. There's a private sector veterans preference program. Can you tell me what that's about?
This new law that's going to go into effect on 1 August permits private employers to give preference in hiring and promoting veterans. In Minnesota is one of 2 states that offers this opportunity to our private sector employees or employers, and Washington State is the other state that has that. And it is just an opportunity to directly advertise that you want to hire veterans.
And is there somewhere to get more information on that one? I'm sure there is.
Well, MinnesotaVeteran.org would be the location to go for that. Under the legislative updates would be the location.
All right, great. Now, we've just got a couple of minutes left, Barb. I know that there's a landing page, PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans. But for employers, if they want to learn how to find veterans to employ, and for employees, if they want to learn how the system works, can you walk us through that?
Yes, what we have done is we've really tried to create a synchronized message for employers and veterans. We hope that both will go to positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Employers, post your jobs on the job board on positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. It's actually minnesotaworks.net. Post those jobs there. Advertise that you're looking to hire a veteran or that you're a veteran-friendly company. Also, the second thing that we ask you to do is connect with your veteran employment rep. On positivelyminnesota.com, there is a list of veteran employment reps. See those people. They are working directly one-on-one with veterans, and so if you tell them that you're looking for any specific job openings, they might have veterans that can fill those positions. And for the veterans, of course, we say your first step is to connect with your veteran employment rep. Make sure that you have your resume, your interview, that you're ready to go. And then
where do they find the veteran employment rep?
PositivelyMinnesota.com.
Okay. All right.
Everything goes to PositivelyMinnesota.com. And then also we're telling our veterans to post your resumes on that website. And one of the tips that we gave to our employers in Rochester, if you're looking for veterans, go to Minnesota Works, the job board for Minnesota, and put in a keyword search, veteran, and get that list of veterans and look at their resumes. See what they're able to contribute to your companies.
And Barb, we've heard some guests over the past few weeks that apparently we've got some success with these programs. There are veterans finding jobs. This is working.
Absolutely. It is working. We're starting to see younger veterans come into the workforce centers, take advantage of all of the services that are available in the workforce centers through the veteran employment reps. It's just amazing how many resources are out there for veterans.
That's great work. Barb, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, but if you are a veteran looking for a job, or if you're an employer looking to hire veterans, positivelyminnesota.com/veterans is the place where employers and veterans meet.
I think I'm getting it, Barb. Positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you.
That was Barb O'Reilly, Director of Women, Veteran, and Employment Initiatives at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing a crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help hire Minnesota's veterans. This week's veteran is Specialist William Felsberg of Coon Rapids. William just returned from his first tour overseas. As an administrative assistant with the Minnesota National Guard, he was responsible for tracking and providing administrative support for 67 soldiers in his unit. He is currently pursuing a bachelor's degree in a career in business administration. William and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with William, connect the Blaine Workforce Center at 763-785-6488. That's 763-785-6488. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll go back 150 years to discover Minnesota's two Civil Wars. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to go back on 150 years to discuss Minnesota's two Civil Wars. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
July is Hire a Veteran Month in Minnesota. Governor Dayton has proclaimed this month to create awareness of the talent and character employers will find when they hire veterans. Who are the mover and shakers in your community? They may not boast about their service, but if you ask, you will find that many of them are veterans. They are leaders who take initiative when something needs to get done. Give them the opportunity and they will exceed your highest standard. The men and women who have worn the uniform are driven to succeed. They are poised and ready for their next mission, their mission back home in Minnesota. This mission will be in companies and small businesses across the state. If you're looking for a smart, dependable employee, look to a veteran.
To participate, go to positivelyminnesota.com/veteran. Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining us now to talk about, to go back 150 years to discover Minnesota's two Civil Wars is retired senior historian for the Minnesota Historical Society, Stephen Osmond. Stephen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
We've talked to you a few times over the last year and a half, but I think this is the first time in the studio. I know that you were a service member and that you worked at the Minnesota Historical Society for quite some time. Can you briefly tell us?
I did simultaneously. I did. I was living inside the walls of old historic Fort Snelling and doing my reserve drills just on the other side of the fort in one of the old infantry barracks, now long closed up, but built back in the 1880s. So it was quite a historic service I was doing there, I think.
And the way you smile and talk about it, you've had a fun career, haven't you?
Very much fun, and I'm still doing the same thing, just not being paid for it anymore.
Well, sometimes we have to give back. Stephen, today I'm intrigued we're talking about Minnesota's two Civil Wars, the tragedy of 1862. What were Minnesota soldiers doing in 1862?
Well, this was the second year of the most costly and the most tragic war in American history. We had five regiments of infantry, two batteries of horse-drawn field artillery, three companies of cavalry, two companies of sharpshooters, about 6,000 men total in the field. The 1st Minnesota was in the east. All the other units were in the western theater of the war. Now, during that summer of 1862, President Lincoln called for 600,000 more soldiers nationwide. Minnesota was actively recruiting for several regiments at the same time, but enlistments were really slow. Once the Homestead Act was signed, the state was filling up with immigrants, but most people wanted the free land to set up a farm. They didn't want to go into the Army. We had about 200,000 people living in the state in 1862, but we actually had a labor shortage.
So out of 200,000, we had 6,000 men in the field.
About 6,000 in the field.
Can you tell us about the Minnesota artillerymen at the Battle of Shiloh?
Sure. In the early spring of 1862, General Grant's forces started moving down the Mississippi River and the other western rivers, and he had placed his camp on the enemy's side of the Cumberland River. The enemy came out of Corinth, Mississippi, and attacked at dawn, and part of the army that they attacked was the 1st Battery Minnesota Light Artillery, about 150 men, six cannons. Their camp was overrun. They fought. They fell back to a defensive position, a sunken road, and there for the next several hours held off the Confederate Army with their cannons, allowing a final defensive line to be established and reinforcements to arrive. Today they have a very prominent monument at that location at the Hornet's Nest on the Shiloh battlefield in Tennessee.
And really the battles back then were brutal, weren't they?
Very brutal. Shiloh absolutely shocked the nation that Westerners could fight like that, fight so ferociously, so bitterly. The second day of that battle, Grant's forces did finally force the Confederates back, and a month later, the town of Corinth surrendered, and Minnesotans were part of the occupying force.
We're speaking with Stephen Osmond, the retired senior historian for the Minnesota Historical Society, about Minnesota's two Civil Wars on Minnesota Military Radio. Stephen, can you tell us what happened to the 3rd Regiment at Murfreesboro,
Tennessee. A battle was fought there later on called Stone's River. But this was about 40, 50 miles south of Nashville, Tennessee. The Federals had advanced that far by summer. Part of the garrison at Murfreesboro was the 3rd Regiment, Minnesota Volunteer Infantry. They encountered a Confederate general named Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was quite a trickster. And he rode in with his cavalry and paraded them through gaps in the trees around the Union Army and managed to convince the commanders that they were far outnumbered, which they were not. The enlisted men in the 3rd Minnesota and many of the officers wanted to fight, but the regiment was surrendered. The enlisted men sent to an exchange camp outside St. Louis, the officers sent to military prison. Now, an exchange camp was interesting. When an equal number of Confederates was captured, they'd be traded on paper for the Northerners, and then they could pick up their guns and go back to fight. Fortunately for Minnesota, these guys were still at that exchange camp when the Dakota conflict started in August, and they were able to come north and help defeat the Dakota warriors and secure the frontier.
Stephen, communications and battlefield intelligence and situational awareness had to be something that was way different from what we understand today.
Well, telegraph was used, the balloon was used, aerial warfare just a little bit. The telegraph was the great lifesaver of the armies, but most of the communication was with mounted couriers who rode back and forth and spread the orders. And, of course, on a regimental level, it was all the commander's voice. he had to be heard above that gunfire in order to command his men.
A lot of guesswork, I'm thinking, instead of actual knowledge.
Right.
Well, 150 years ago this August, tragedy struck Minnesota. Why did this become the most important event in our state's history?
Well, events had been leading up to this for several years. The Treaty of 1837 and the two treaties of 1851 had opened up most of the southern part of Minnesota to settlement. The Dakota agreed to move on to a narrow reservation along the Minnesota River. It was only 10 miles wide by the time the Civil War started, and about 6,500 Dakota in four different bands were crowded onto that reservation. Their land had been sold for pennies on the dollar. Most of the cash went to traders. There were promises from the treaties. Those promises were not kept. Food was running short. Immigrants filled the former Dakota lands. Their game was gone. Some Dakota wanted to go to war. Others opposed the war. So it was actually a Dakota civil war as much as it was a war between whites and Indians. When the war started at near the end of August in 1862, settlers were attacked at their farms. There were major battles at Fort Ridgely, New Ulm, other towns against Minnesota militia troops. More were killed in 5 weeks than all of Minnesota's Civil War battlefield deaths. And if you compare population then and now, this was over five times the deaths of 9/11. Half the state was largely depopulated, and as a result of the war, most of the Dakota people were exiled from the state of Minnesota.
Stephen, we've got about a minute before we have to go to break, but when growing up, you studied Civil War, you studied the wars, all the things, but I don't recall hearing about this great tragedy in Minnesota. Why did history pass this by?
Well, the memories are still very strong in the Minnesota River Valley, both with descendants of some of those settlers who lost family members, had farms burned, and with the Dakota who've come back from Dakota Territory, from the reservations that were sent up after 1862, and they filtered back into the state. Some never left, and the memories are certainly very strong with them. There were many, many tragedies of that terrible year of 1862 here in Minnesota.
Well, it certainly sounds like this is something that should be back in the history books and our children should be studying about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hopefully this summer, with all of the commemorations and all of the new things being published, people will become more aware of it.
Stephen, we have to take a short break. We'll be back with more from Stephen Osmond, retired senior historian for the Minnesota Historical Society and Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Stephen Osmond, senior historian, retired senior historian from the Minnesota Historical Society, and we've been talking about Minnesota's two civil wars, the Great Civil War and the Dakota Conflict. And Stephen, the Dakota Conflict sounds like something that I wish I'd have studied about when I was in high school, but I can't remember that far back. What were the results of the Dakota Conflict? How did that affect the Minnesotans and the Dakota?
Well, there were really two major results. One was the tragedy for the Dakota people because they were thrown off their reservations. The treaties were abrogated. They were moved to reservations along the Missouri River, pretty miserable reservations. And immediately the former reservation lands filled up with settlers. So for immigrants into Minnesota, perhaps soldiers just getting out of the army, suddenly there's hundreds of thousands of new acres of land available that they can buy and move on to because the Indians are gone. It was very rich farmland. For the Dakota, just the opposite, total tragedy for them. Now, the fighting of the Dakota War didn't really end the conflict. There were about 1,700 or 1,800 non-combatants, mostly women and children, who were gathered up out in the Granite Falls and Montevideo area after the Battle of Wood Lake in September of 1862. They were marched down to Fort Snelling, put in a pretty miserable internment camp below the walls of the fort. About 130 of them died of the measles and pneumonia that winter. And the next spring, they're loaded onto steamboats and eventually railroad trains and transported across to the Missouri River reservations. 38 Dakota men are hung in Mankato. It's the largest mass hanging in U.S. history. Originally, over 300 had been sentenced to death by military court-martial. Abraham Lincoln, the president, assigned a group of lawyers to look at the testimony in every one of those cases and finally settled on only 39 who should be hung, and one was reprieved at the last minute. But the day after Christmas, 1862, was the largest mass hanging in U.S. history in downtown Mankato, Minnesota.
Sounds like something that repeated itself in our history of the United States a number of times. War with the Indians lost, we took some land, and good things on one side and terrible things on another.
It is, and when you look at the longer scope of history, that's the nature of human beings. Certainly that was thousands of years of Indian history in this country and European history as well, the strong take from the weak.
Conquest and things happen. Mm-hmm. Stephen, we just got a couple of minutes left. What was life like back in 1862 in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota? It was farming communities.
Right, and St. Paul had been a city since the 1840s. It was growing, but still you had no gas lighting yet. You had no running water yet. Water wagons went around, or you had your own cistern. There was a police force. There was a fire force. But the only way to get out of Minnesota was on a steamboat or in the winter on a sleigh. Pretty primitive life here. The farms, very small sustenance farming, but growing. Wheat prices had tripled, and wheat was actually the big crop in Minnesota in 1862.
Communications, news, how did you learn about what was going on in Minnesota and around the country?
As of 1860. So
telegraph.
We had instantaneous news, and it was shared by the various newspapers here in the state. It came into St. Paul.
So it was local, state, and national news because it came in by telegraph.
Correct, and all of the papers reprinted what all the other papers had the day before.
That was quite a time back in 1862. Stephen, we've got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about Minnesota's two Civil Wars?
Well, the role of the Minnesota military and really the state of Minnesota changed as a result of the 1862 Dakota conflict. The state was militarized to allow repopulation of the western counties. There were chains of fortified posts and little fortresses 20 miles apart. Patrols were marched and ridden every day looking for signs of Dakota coming back into the state. We had 30 companies of cavalry raised after the Dakota conflict. Guys on horseback who never went to fight Confederates, they stayed up here. And the Minnesota soldiers who eventually did get deployed south were much better prepared for fighting Confederates than any other new volunteers because they had already served a year or two out here on the frontier. Now, those guys who fought in 1862, one interesting point, they were Minnesota militia under command of Colonel Henry Hastings Sibley, our first governor. They were not mustered into federal service until after the shooting had stopped. And there was a lot of controversy as to whether their 3 years was really up from the time they enlisted at Fort Snelling or the time that they raised their right hand to swear into federal service after the shooting was over in the Dakota conflict. They never did really resolve that.
Stephen, fascinating stuff as usual. Thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and I hope you come back to visit soon.
Thanks, Tom. I'll be back.
That was Stephen Osman, a retired senior historian from the Minnesota Historical Society. Joining us now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General from the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Sergeant Major, I understand you had an event this week called the Teen Summit.
We did. It was quite an event. We actually had 31 military-connected teens from across the state, and even some from surrounding states, get together. They were between 13 and 17 years old, and they got together to try to support each other through the process of their parents being deployed, and they tried to build some resiliency and represent some other teens across Minnesota, gaining some life skills to talk about stress management and how they can get through a deployment together.
Sergeant Major, is this Teen Summit specific to Minnesota, or does it happen in other locales as well?
It does happen in other locations. This is Minnesota's second annual Teen Summit, however, so it was really good. The teen group that put it together is from Minnesota this year, and so they did a fantastic job.
And where was it held, ma'am?
It was in St. Cloud this year, so I was lucky enough to go there and be a part of it this year. I went there on Monday. It was supported by Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, so that was a really fun event. The teens had a bunch of goals to include talking to their schools to inform them about military youth. They tried to do some community service hours. They committed to doing 50 community service hours. And so it was a wonderful event.
So these teens that showed up, were they boys and girls?
They were, yes. And they got along wonderfully. I was quite surprised at that. I didn't see anyone texting or on cell phones or anything. They were having such a good time.
I'll bet the young ladies were excited to see the senior enlisted advisor of the Minnesota National Guard as being a command sergeant major.
Yeah, I think some of them were quite surprised, but it was a great event, and I'm glad I got to be there and be part of it.
And how did it turn out? Did they learn some things? Was it helpful?
Well, I think it was very helpful. They really understood what people go through during the deployment and that they're not alone. They're not the only people who go through that. I think they built some really strong relationships with each other that will last a while.
Sounds like an exciting event.
It really was.
Sergeant Major, any final thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, if you have any teams out there that are military connected and they'd like to get involved, you can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.com under Youth Services, and there's a place they can get involved.
One of our favorite websites, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Absolutely.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General, Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Before we go, we'd like to mention one upcoming event. The AARP will be hosting Defenders of Democracy Day at Minnesota History Center on Monday, July 2nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is an opportunity for veterans and active military to view a copy of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights for free and to be honored at a short program in the center's auditorium at 12 p.m. For more information on this event and more, like us on Facebook or visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. And remember, for a complete list of events, go to BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Barb O'Reilly, Stephen Osmond, and Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shalado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as former Sergeant Major, now Congressman, Tim Walz joins us with the latest news on three bills aimed at helping our veterans' employment efforts. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.